Welcome back to Techonomics. I am your host, Jason Middleton. This week we are dwelling on the issue of, well, look, it's nothing less than the fate of Earth at the hands of humans. Now, given the headlines over the past few decades, you may think that's a depressing thought or even a lost cause. But a NASA astrobiologist's new book convinced me and others that there is reason for hope. Sure, there are some short-term roadblocks, especially politically, but climate change can be positively affected by humans. This is the third and final segment with Dr. David Grinspoon. His new book is Earth in Human Hands, Shaping Our Planet's Future. In prior segments this show, we covered terraforming other planets like Mars. And we talked about how humans, when you think of our deep history, are kind of like climate change surviving machines. I mean, we made it through the Ice Age by inventing, basically, fish hooks. And that was thousands of years ago. Of course, there were more fish and fewer people then, but let's not quibble. In this segment, we talk about Dr. Grinspoon's early career here in Silicon Valley and his time with Carl Sagan. Then we wrap up with some box office recommendations from an astrobiologist and confessed fan of popular science fiction. Here we go. We noticed, of course, that some of your background and your education came here in Silicon Valley. And I want to ask the question, did NASA Ames play any role in where you've come to intellectually?
Absolutely. It was very important. When I finished grad school, I moved to San Francisco and started a postdoc at NASA Ames. So that was really my first post-student real scientist job. And Ames was an amazing place to be. And I had the good fortune of working with a guy there, where my advisor there was a guy named James Pollock, who is a very important unsung hero in planetary science and even Earth science history. Jim Pollock was Carl Sagan's first graduate student at Harvard. Mm. And when I got to Ames, I learned climate modeling and comparative planetology and comparative planetary climate modeling from Pollock. And at that time, Jim Pollock and Carl Sagan and some of their colleagues were working on this whole host of problems connecting climate change on other planets to climate change on Earth. The greenhouse effect on Venus and how you apply that to climate modeling on Earth. They were studying dust storms on Mars. And it turns out that the dust storms on Mars led them to think about nuclear winter on Earth. And it was during that time period that Carl Sagan and Jim Pollock and Brian Toon and some other scientists, they said, oh, dust storms on Mars, that's an interesting problem. And, oh, what happens when a planet's atmosphere fills up with lots of particles of dust and smoke? What would make that happen on Earth? Uh-oh. And then they started to think about nuclear winter, and that led to the theory of nuclear winter, which was very important, in our realizing the power that we have to change this planet. And then they were also – Sagan and Pollock wrote a paper while I was working there, and I helped them out a little bit with it, on planetary engineering. And they were actually modeling the terraforming of Mars, the possible terraforming of Venus.
Wow.
And the geoengineering of Earth. And they saw and they showed me that it's all the same problem. If you think about terraforming Mars and Venus, and then you look at Earth, it's all the same question. How would we consciously intervene in changing a planet's climate? And Pollock and Sagan came down on the side of being very wary of geoengineering as a quick fix. It's like, let's not try to solve climate change by just squirting some stuff in the stratosphere, because there's going to be unintended consequences. We don't know what we're doing well enough. But at the same time, and I say this in the book, you know, we can't sort of get off the hook with a quick fix like that. But on the long run, we will want to think about how to engineer this planet, including the climate, because if you think 10,000 years, 50,000 years into the future, climate left to itself is not benign and friendly. The Earth goes through natural climate changes that will be very dangerous for civilization and for the biosphere. So in the long run, it will be our obligation to learn how to do geoengineering to stop the next ice age. You know, it's all the same problem of – same sort of Uber problem of learning how planets work on different timescales, understanding our role in that system well enough – first, to stop the inadvertent, you know, destruction of planetary systems. But then after we get through that, then I think we have a new obligation to use that understanding to think about how we could become a benign and even a constructive influence on those planetary systems.
Well, Earth in Human Hands is your new book, Dr. David Grinspoon. It's hopeful. It's actionable. It's accessible. It's full of science, but I have to say, it's not a slog of a read at all. It's actually something that you actually could read now in the comfort of your home next to a fire, or you could take it to the beach with you this summer. Thank you so much for your time. But before I let you split, I veered a little bit into science fiction for a second. This book and terraforming of other planets and bioengineering makes me think, did you ever see the movie Interstellar?
Of course, yes.
Did you like it?
I had mixed feelings about that movie, Interstellar. There's some brilliant stuff in it, and there's some, how can I say this politely, some dumb stuff in it. Some of the planetary science wasn't so good. You know, they had ice clouds that you could land on, and they set it up where there was an ecological crisis on Earth.
Right, yeah.
Which is, you know, a legit thing to worry about, but the specific nature of the crisis was the oxygen was going away. You know, there's no basis for that. That's not going to happen.
I see.
So I had some quibbles with the technical part.
Right.
And then, you know, and then that whole thing with the Tesseract and the coming back in the library and the books moving around.
Well, yeah, that's time, like, space, right?
Like Poltergeist or something.
Right. Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned the science there, too. So is there something that maybe because, you know, popular science fiction is a way that's accessible to a lot of people to get into this kind of thing. Was there something else that maybe you recently saw, want to recommend?
Well, I loved Arrival, which is this brand new movie. Where the communication with the aliens is really the central dilemma. And I think they actually handled that in a very intelligent way. And the way they depicted the aliens, remarkably, they seemed like they could be real aliens, which is unusual for movie aliens. They're usually pretty dumb looking and you go, oh, come on.
Right.
I thought the aliens in Arrival, I thought, yeah.
Okay.
Those could be the product of evolution on another planet. I buy that.
All right.
So I'm a fan of it. People, if you haven't seen it, check out Arrival. It's a smart science fiction movie.
Dr. David Grinspoon, author of Earth and Human Hands, thanks so much for coming in today.
Thanks a lot for having me. It's fun talking to you.
That was Dr. David Grinspoon. He's an astrobiologist at NASA. He trained in Silicon Valley at the Ames Research Center in Mountain View. He also has a new book that we've been exploring with him this week, Earth in Human Hands, Shaping Our Planet's Future. For links to Dr. Grinspoon's book, go to facebook.com/techonomicsradio. And for that matter, if you want to check out any of the music we use on each week's show, we post a weekly playlist right there as well. facebook.com/techonomicsradio. We dived into the realm of science fiction in that last segment. So, to be sure, treacherous waters for casual fans and diehard nerds alike. Just look at the trolls online. That said, I find that Interstellar held up on second viewing a little less than I'd hoped.
Fran Doyle, back to the Ranger now.
We're not leaving without her data.
Back here now. We do not have time. The second wave is coming. We're in the middle of a swell.
I got it.
Get your ass back to the Ranger now. Friends, get back here now!
Go! I can't make it! Go!
Ace, go get her!
Now, that's my favorite scene in Interstellar. I should add that if you need a soundtrack to run to, or even better, if you're hiking alone, the score for Interstellar is stellar. I'm sorry, I had to. Now, as for the new sci-fi flick built around other world visitors, Arrival's main conceit also left me wanting. I won't spoil it here, of course, but it's a good flick worth a watch. Maybe too convenient, though.
What's up, guys? Welcome to Found Flicks. On this Ending Explained, I'll be looking at the new alien film Arrival, not to be confused with the mid-90s powerhouse The Arrival starring Charlie Sheen. This has nothing to do with that. And despite this movie featuring Lois Lane and Hawkeye teaming up to deal with aliens, there are no giant aliens with laser cannons or anything like that. Bummer! Arrival is kind of like the antithesis of the Independence Day sequel. Whereas that was an overblown spectacle, this movie is a much more subdued, dramatic take on humanity's first contact with alien life. So there's a huge question.
That's from a YouTube channel we like for movie chatting after we've seen the flick. Still, no spoilers here. It's called Found Flicks. It's a channel. You just have to search for Flicks with an X on YouTube. So let's run it down again real quick. For podcasts of each segment of Techonomics, you can go to kgoradio.com/techonomics or just kgoradio.com's podcast landing page. Now, for related show links like to authors or events and for our weekly musical playlist, Check us out at Facebook.com/Techonomics Radio. And you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at KGO Jason. So, you say you want to land a job in Silicon Valley. Want to know what jobs are the hottest, how much they pay, and who's hiring? Well, we have that. And a little bit more. It's all coming up after the break. I'm Jason Middleton. This is Techonomics. Please come on back.